Alright, we'll do the ads first. You sit here. We'll start with this one. This podcast is brought to you by GLD.
Not to be confused with GLP-1. GLD.
This is GL. This is Ruby Sitnik is here, by the way.
Get large dick. Is that what it is?
Talk about what you received from GLD and why you love it.
What did you receive?
Good lord!
Good large.
Good lord
dick.
All right. Fellas, summer is here. Festival season, beach trips, pool parties, weddings. That's why we're rocking with our sponsors, GLD. GLD uses real gold. That's something to do with gold. Every stone is handset.
Oh, I think it's gold. GLD is gold. Just is gold without the O.
Gold lady dick. For the trans man with class. If you're trying to level up your summer fits without overthinking it, GLD is the move. And they've given us a... Look, if there was a camera now, you'd be seeing a chain.
They've got everything too. Chains, pendants, bracelets, and a great selection of watches. Whether you keep it simple, like a little shine, they've got the perfect piece for you.
GLD has an official collab with the NFL. So you can get every NFL team on a pendant this season.
This is like a fake thing. There's no way this is a real
It's a real pendant. Good thing. GLD offers...
We have watches and football.
It's a football necklace.
It's like a fake ad from...
It's a real promotion.
We have cars, footballs, and watches.
And we're very happy that they are paying us money.
Sorry. No, it sounds good.
I love...
I've got to read this bit correctly.
They've had 2 minutes. It's meant to be 60 seconds. It's gone for 2 minutes.
Fine.
So they've gotten a good GLD. We love GLD. For a limited time only, new customers are getting an insane deal. Use code CATAMARAN to get 40% off at GLD.com. That's 40% off with code CATAMARAN at GLD.com. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. It's time to lock in and upgrade your style this summer with GLD. All right, let's just do the other ad. All right, we'll do the other ad. Come around. Come around. Come on. Help out. Got a second ad. Here we go. You know Ridge.
They make amazing power banks, wallets, luggage, and premium everyday gear.
Ridge is back with their legendary sweepstakes for the sixth year. And this time... It's bigger than ever.
The sweepstakes run from July 24th through September 8th. Can you explain to...
Sweepstakes!
What sweepstakes?
I'll tell you about it. Tony Hawk is the official spokesperson this year. So you already know this one is going to be insane. Two lucky winners will get to choose between a Lamborghini Huracan Sarai. Lamborghini? It's a Lamborghini
bikini.
A Ford Hennessy Velociraptor. I don't know that those nouns go together.
What are these?
I know what a Ford is. I know what a Hennessy is. And I know what a Velociraptor is. I don't think there's such a thing as a Ford Hennessy Velociraptor.
And the next one and the very next one says a souped up Ford Bronco.
Or $100,000 in cash.
Oh, I see. These are the winners of a competition. I thought that this is what we're selling. $100,000 cash. It's probably a bad business model.
Hey, which would you choose? I'd choose cash.
Yeah. I'd like to have a Velociraptor.
Yeah, but it's a Ford. I'd have a Rolls Royce Velociraptor. I don't really understand the Rolls. Anyway, so that my point is, here's what you have to do. If you want to boost your chances, buy Ridge things during sweepstakes. Here you go. Some talking points. Ridge's power bank is built for modern life.
Just to be clear, this is a power bank.
It's a power bank. Sorry, I know there was a lot of talk about power
Broncos.
Cars and cash, but what you're being asked to buy is a power bank. And from what I can see in my very limited research, these seem less likely than some other power banks on the market to explode.
Oh, nice.
Because that's what everyone's worried about.
Is it happening a lot, or is it just
They've
a few
started
people?
Announcing it on airplane. When you get on a plane, they go, if your power bank starts to get hot, please tell us about it. But with Ridge, no matter what you pick, there's free shipping. And 99, I mean, I'm not a scientist, I don't know.
Yeah.
99-day risk-free trial. Risk-free is not something I'm comfortable saying. And how many five-star reviews have they got?
100,000 plus. As many cash as you could get if you enter the unrelated. As many dollar bills as you would get if you win the unrelated competition.
Well, this is the ad. Maybe we move the ad to the middle of the podcast.
No.
It's been going for 5 minutes.
Strong open.
Ready to upgrade your wallet and maybe your ride? For a limited time only, head to Ridge.com and use code Catamaran at checkout for 10% off your order and a chance to win Ridge's biggest sweepstakes ever. A Lamborghini Huracan Cerato, a Hennessy Velociraptor, a Ford Bronco, or $100,000 in cash. No purchase necessary to enter, but every dollar you spend gets you more entries. That's Ridge.com and use Catamaran. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Ruby Setnick, who's sitting through 6 minutes?
I feel like if I'm at a point in my life where if
get
I were
back
to,
over there.
I feel like I'm at a point in my life where if I were to win $100,000 in cash, that I would die.
Oh, you just go straight up the nose, straight in the veins.
No.
Let me tell you, I'd be more
just
worried
from
about
excitement
you.
Alone.
I'd be more worried about you in an apartment with a velociraptor, personally. It's good to have Ruby Sitnik here in Australia. You flew over.
Yeah.
Delta looked after you and you got your own little section.
No. Well, yeah. Actually, that was the Virgin Airlines flight. But maybe they have a relationship with Delta.
I refuse to fly Virgin. Fly.
But that's your whole
big
thing.
Big whore. Yeah.
It's much cheaper.
But also, they know what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway.
They're experienced.
Ruby has come over to be on the movie.
Yeah.
Which you haven't seen a lot of that yet.
Nope.
But how's it going?
The movie?
Oh, you're part of it. You got the lines down, Pat?
No. You?
Not one.
Yeah. We should both read the script.
We should.
When you're done writing the script, you should probably read the script.
So on Saturday, I'm finishing the script that we've already started making the movie.
I also had an idea that maybe we should talk through all the lines and that could help you in writing the rest of writing.
Do you want to come out on Saturday morning and help me finish the script?
Yeah, although I am getting sick, but yeah.
Yes, you keep saying you're getting sick.
It's happening. I can feel it.
Well, you're in a house with children now, so they'll be getting sick.
It's probably from the international flight.
No.
Yeah.
It's our sweet Australia. You miss the smell of freedom. No, I don't know. I mean, have you had but you actually do look. Yeah, you do look. We're getting up. We're doing a gig tonight. Maybe that'll help. You haven't done stand up in a little while.
Yeah, I'm probably sick because I haven't done stand up in a little while.
Yeah, that's a real disease. Oh, I don't know. I just did an hour long podcast with Sam.
Oh.
That's on the Patreon.
How was it?
It's great.
Oh, good.
It's great. Yeah. It was great. We talked about Dropout.
Dropout.
The thing that we watched, what College Humor turned into.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a Patreon conversation.
You said, don't you bring this improv talk here. That's just the improv kids and how I think that they it's such a different way to be funny and they're all yes and.
I think the funniest improv is funnier in, no, I can't even bring myself to say that.
The only thing I was on Odd Territories when as a riff, I was like, I wonder if these improv kids have like problems with consent because they're just so in the habit of yes anding that they don't know how to say no. Which is a real, they're also
positive. This is not a real thing.
It's a real thing.
No.
It's a real thing.
I think they have trouble with consent because they're not having a lot of sex.
Because they're not what?
They're not getting asked so much,
Yeah.
Not true. They're theater kids and theater kids be fucking. Sorry. I take it all back. They're theater kids.
Is it wrong of me to say that on average, with key core exceptions, people who do improv are less attractive than people who do stand-up?
I think you'd be wrong to say that.
Okay. All right.
I mean, everybody's ugly. I was going to say that the funniest improv is funnier than the funniest stand-up, and then while I was saying that, I realized it's not true, but I will say the prettiest improviser is prettier than the prettiest stand-up. Because they don't have to travel, and they don't have to be alone, and they have friends, and they'd be fucking.
Yeah. I think there's, so maybe for girls.
Oh.
Improv girls might be prettier on average.
Than stand-up girls.
Than stand-up girls. Certainly improv men are worse looking than the best looking. The best looking stand-up men.
Well, but I think that you're judging men how they are judged, which is
A man stands alone.
A man stands alone and therefore is prettier. He's prettier by his nature.
But I'll say, certainly audiences, we could agree, are better looking for stand-up audiences. Whenever I go to a music show, like an indie music show,
yeah,
I think...
Ew.
No, I think, damn, everyone's so... The men look great. The women look great. They're all much hotter than the audience at a comedy show. Just the, some of that is youth.
Yeah.
And some of that
is
your
aesthetic and style.
My aesthetic, what I'm going for?
Not like what your taste is. Is that's like true. 90s gay librarian.
I never told you about that. Yes, gay 90s librarian is my...
It's your aesthetic, your personal aesthetic.
I read Andy Warhol's, it was called The Philosophy of Andy Warhol from A to B and Back Again.
And you told me about this. He said some very funny things.
Well, one of the funny things he talked about was he was
being
talking
famous.
About a sexy underwear.
His sexy underwear?
He's talking about sexy underwear in general.
Okay.
And he's going like, well, the problem is like you start to like romanticize certain kind of like sexy underwear.
Yeah.
Before anyone will, you're too young. You know, the sex desire ideally kicks in a good long while before the sex starts. So by the time you get to have sex with somebody, they're not wearing the sexy underwear that you thought. Like for them to wear, they're wearing today's new sexy underwear.
I see.
You know? And for them to go and put on the old, where would you even go to find the sexy underwear of 10 years ago? Which at that point, you know, culture changed maybe more rapidly than it has now.
I see.
And I do think, you know, someone, you know, and I think of that as makeup and hair.
Yeah.
Like when I started to notice girls, it was like that, really there. I had a late puberty.
Sexy
as well.
90s librarian gay.
Early, mid 2000s. No, it was like mid 2000s. It's indie sleaze, it's called now. It was like.
I have no idea.
I'm going to show you the indie sleaze.
You'll
page.
Have to.
All right. But it's like straightened hair,
mm-hmm.
a lot of eye makeup. Like the Strokes, here we go.
Grease Boss.
Yeah, there's a Greasy New York. That's
show
not
me.
A great picture. So there's an Instagram, yes, yes. American Apparel commercials. Are you seeing this?
900 likes, 200 comments, 5,000 follows.
Oh, that's weird. Why are people, it's loading, it's loading. It's loading.
Show me.
It's loading.
Show me quicker.
See, this is where it would be good to be doing. There. Oh, I fucked that up. Just as it was loading, I clicked away. Here we go. Here we go. So as you can see here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that out here.
We're just to use Canada, more confusing words to explain.
You know, this. Look at that eyeshadow.
Yeah. That's like, okay, yeah. Is it like Hot Topic?
Cameras, Hot Topic, I don't know what that is.
A twee?
It's not quite twee. That's closer.
Show me, because I can't. Okay.
That's.
He's showing me women dressed.
What's the indie? I'm showing the indie sleaze.
He's showing me porn.
I'm showing the indie sleaze Instagram page. Meg White. Meg White's a great example.
Show me Meg White.
There she is.
Okay.
No, it's not quite right.
It's kind of twee.
My point is, women don't look like. Yeah, Zooey Deschanel was before and after, and just the straight fringes and peaches. Peaches was big at the time. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
That.
Dirtbag girl, you like what do we call this now?
Well, this doesn't exist anymore.
Huh?
This doesn't exist anymore.
Femcel.
Femcel?
Yeah.
Well, I think they went on to be, look at Young and Julian Casablancas.
Wow.
My sexuality is sort of young Julian Casablancas. I find him this thick, full Julian Casablancas lips.
People who aren't Catholic just say they're gay, but James has to do a little long walk. Say that about himself.
I am living now with four children, including my daughter. No, the women. It's a house full of women.
That's always been who you are. Sorry.
Yes. I asked Taylor last night, I said, how many autistic women am I a father figure to? She did some quick maths.
How many?
I think about five.
Oh, I thought it was unique.
She said, does your daughter count? And she said, I'm her father. I'm not a father figure. She's also not autistic. I don't think. I refuse to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
No, look.
In the best way.
You know, I was counting it out. I mean, Eve's not autistic at all. Anyway, the important thing, I'm not her father figure. She's my mummy figure.
She is your mummy.
Mummy's inside now. Mummy's
I just met your mummy.
Oh, you hadn't met my mummy before? No. You hadn't met mummy?
Had not met mummy.
Hi, mummy.
Hi,
she's
mummy.
She's over there.
Yeah.
You know, we all, you know. Anyway, great start to the podcast. What do you know? What have you noticed about Australia?
Sun's in the wrong place.
Yes.
Look
forward to you explaining that to the audience tonight.
I'm not going to. It is going to come out of me. I have nothing funny to say about it, but I will be talking about
it.
Oh, there's that thing about the how when you say thank you, people respond the way that people in America would respond if you had just said I'm sorry. So they say things like no worries and that's all right, because when you're saying thank you in Australia, what you're really saying is I'm terribly sorry for the inconvenience, but you're thanking them for something that's usually their job.
This is something Amos said that it was the first thing he noticed when he came back, is that he was on a bus. He's on the bus from the airport, I think probably the Sydney bus that you were at.
Yeah.
You have to connect one terminal to the other. And a guy came over and goes, I'm so sorry, mate. And Amos had been in America, so on hearing that, he didn't know what was going to come next, but he thought, like, some terrible piece of news he was ready for. And the guy goes, you know, could you just move a little bit that way so I can put my bag away? And that is you're absolutely, it is wrong to intrude upon another person's life in a way that, I mean, golly, when I was in the Midwest, I found everyone
so
friendly.
But it's not quite politeness.
No. No, it's not. You're right.
It's all the worst parts of politeness without any of the good parts of politeness. There's no smiles. It's all the apologies and the awkwardness and the long pauses and none of the smiling and the humbleness and the giving me a muffin without frowning at me.
I had always, the American expression is, don't tread on me.
Yeah.
And I think the Australian equivalent of that is not.
Sorry for treading on you.
No, it's, pull your head in. We say that.
Like at birth?
No, it's.
That's how I imagined it.
Get back in there. Pull your fucking head in.
Like a turtle? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
Shoulders
someone's
up.
Someone's got their head sticking out.
Oh.
You got to pull that head in.
Stay in line.
Stay in line. Stay in line. But we say, instead of stay in line, which would seem abusive and tyrannical, we say, pull your head in.
Wait, let's do the American versions of both of our things. Because the American version of pull your head in obviously would be stick your head out. And then the Australian version of tread on me would be...
Don't
tread on my head.
Please no steppy.
Please no steppy.
I mean,
steppy.
Americans say, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane is one that they... That would mean the same thing here. Pull your head in.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Oh, stay in your lane's really... That's such a harsh thing to hear.
It actually feels... Of all the things Americans say, stay in your lane feels the most un-American to me.
But when an American says it's very... It hits you deep down. Imagine an American saying that to another American. Out.
It's... Oprah says it.
Yeah.
It's a big Oprah... I feel it's maybe more of a Black America thing.
Oh, why does it hurt so bad? I guess it is because the American sentiment is that you are meant to step out of your lane and rise above.
Yeah,
and so when someone is telling you, you know, in your case, stay in your fucking lane.
It hurts.
It hurts.
So now I want you to just know that Australia is a whole country built on
that
stay
feeling.
In your lane.
Interesting.
That feeling is the underlying.
I'm really scared to do stand-up comedy for it.
No, you're going to be great.
I've noticed that you guys are very whimsical and blasé about gambling.
Oh, yeah. I took Ruby to a pokey room.
Okay, pokey. It's called... He said, I'm going to take you to pokey. And I was like, oh, good. We're going to eat fish. And then we went to the pokey room. Pokey room is where they have slot machines in the middle of a parking lot in the middle of a suburban neighborhood. And it's just people gambling in there. And it's called a pokey machine, which is really interesting. It's because you're poking the buttons. it's like people first language.
Yeah.
Where they're like, how we say stuff in our language resembles how we think about it.
Yes.
So it's like you guys think of gambling as the first act that you do when you're gambling, which is poking a little shiny button. What's the other word for gambling too is also too silly. It's missing. It's
having a punt.
Yeah.
Punting on the pokies.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you some more things about degenerate gambling in Australia. We have a lot of... So when you go into most pubs here...
I keep on trying to say this saying where it's you forsake the forest for the trees. What is it? You miss the forest for the trees. That's what calling the pokey machine. Because it's a gambling.
When you go to a lot of suburban pubs here, they'll have like a horse racing room. Mm. So they'll have...
horses in the room?
I wish. They have like five screens where around the world, different horse races are being broadcast. And you can bet on any of the horse races happening anywhere in the world from that machine.
Mm.
Except there is a couple of hours when it just so happens that no one quite has daylight hours where horse racing is happening. So maybe like, you know, over the Pacific.
Yeah.
You know, Hawaii might not have horse racing. So there's no dog racing, horse racing, chariot racing, whatever. That's when it goes to Japanese robot dogs where they play an animation of dogs racing. And you bet on a... They just have a video that they don't tell you who's winning the video. And you can bet on the pre-recorded, pre-rendered computer video. So, like, at the end of a big night, you know, I'll bet on there, bet on that. You know, oh, let's have a punt. Ah, the race is over. I'll get on the Japanese robot dogs.
And it's an animated video where someone... It's predestined.
I believe, yes, but they just don't tell you. You don't know. And they give it, like, pretend odds.
Yeah.
And then you watch a bad 3D video of dogs racing. It's the most degenerate gambling, I believe. Yeah. No, I love a pokey room. In Sydney, they call them VIP rooms.
Mm.
And they used to do a joke about it. It's on King's Cross. They had all the VIP rooms.
Can I say two things?
Oh, yeah. I want to tell my joke.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Right. I just went down to King's Cross. Well, I can see why they gave it that name. But if I was the king, I would be absolutely furious at the things going down there. They go to these VIP rooms. Let me tell you. I've seen those rooms. I've seen the P's. They're not VI. They're not even moderately I. These are the least I people I've ever met in my life.
That's good stuff.
It only works in that city.
Oh, really? I understood it.
Well, maybe if I... No, it's because I...
Gave me
I told you
context.
About King's Cross and VIP.
Maybe you'd have to find a shorter way to tell me.
I couldn't explain what a pokey room was to you.
You had to show me. Well, you said it's a pokey room. I said... Like fish, and you're like, no, like da 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 da, and you did the song that it plays when you win. So you really did no work in actually explaining to me what it possibly
fruit
could be.
I call them fruit machines. I call them fruit machines because the fruit spins around.
Me and the audience, like
777, good time, lucky number one bonus.
All of these just sound like it could either be an arcade place or a pokey shop.
All I have to offer is my country. Oh, I have the waffle. You're going to be great tonight. It's going to be great. We're doing the gig tonight.
I feel sick.
You feel sick? You saw The Office very briefly?
I'm glad that I understand you better now that I'm so jet lagged because I really can't think and I don't know how you do it with so many kids because I'm really depressed and I can't think and it's really strange and disorienting.
That flight with the kids is so hard that to do it without the kids is like nothing.
Nothing, yeah. No, I can't even imagine. I'm so turned around and fucked up. There's a guy outside the coffee.
Tough. Go on.
There's a guy outside the coffee shop, and I give him dollars, and he was always playing something on his phone, and then I realized that he was gambling on his phone.
This is in Australia?
No, this is in America. Oh, yeah, I haven't developed relationships with the homeless population yet. I haven't been here.
I was thinking
been
like,
for 2 days.
It's huge that you've managed to go and find a homeless already. They're not that hard to, you know, there's not as many of them.
You don't know about Downtown Joe?
Well, we don't call it a downtown.
We have a homeless.
We call it the CBD.
Did I tell you the what's that stand for?
Central Business District.
Dick. Sorry.
There is one
cunt
city
boobs
in America.
Dick. Sorry.
Cunt boobs dick. Yeah. It's my. I need more of them.
Mm.
I've got ADHD, a disgustingly huge dick.
Yeah.
I've got PMS.
Yeah.
Pussy makes sad. And you know, I told you PMS, Pussy Makes Sad. I was really happy with Pussy Makes Sad.
Really good.
I'd like more. I love saying them. I'd like to have like 10 riddled throughout the act.
PMDD.
Post-menstrual.
Dysphoric disorder. But
disorder?
Disorder.
ADHD. Yeah, my daughter's got ADHD.
Every time I look at your new baby, I think, tiny baby personality disorder. That's intrusively what enters my brain every time I look
TBPD.
At your...
TBPD? Being able to quickly...
Two boobs, personality disorder.
Oh, PMS. No, it's... a child will... Yeah, I've gotten a little fatter and this one keeps trying to suckle on me. So...
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Like a baby, like your wife can tell you, no, you don't have big man tits, but the baby
won't
lie.
But the baby tells you.
Baby don't lie about...
Baby don't lie about who has tits.
Baby sees a titty. Baby nose. Anyway,
that's funny. That could be something.
Well, I have, because I am fat at the moment, I will be.
You're not as fat as you think you are, I think.
How fat do you think I am? How fat do you think I think I am?
I think you think you're fatter than you are.
I'm not movie star slim. We're about to be in a movie.
This is as slim as we'll be for this movie. No. This is the sort of movie you don't want to see slim people. Be bummed out and distracting to see very attractive slim people in this movie.
Well, luckily Amos said he's gained weight. He's going to have to come here and be real fat for me to be.
We could start jogging tomorrow. We could start working out tomorrow.
I have a gym membership. We would look better. I don't want to jog. Bad for the knees. I know. My age and size.
We'll get some. You could. Your Asian size.
Age.
Now
and
you're
size.
Bigger than that.
Yes, I think you'll do well here.
I humbled you a bit too far.
Well, I hope you like Australia enough that you decide to have a career here. It's odd who does and who doesn't. Andrew Schultz has a big career here. He keeps coming back, you know, once every year or two.
Well, when we were first friends, am I allowed to say how much you hate Australia on the podcast?
I love this country.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But go on, what did I say?
Well, you would just go on and on about how Australian comedy in there is no good.
Oh, Australian
gay,
comedy?
Gay.
Yeah, gay.
And then you'd be like, Ruby, they would love you. And so I still resent you for that.
So I'm making my peace. And to be fair, it's improved a great deal.
Yeah.
With the situation.
Because it was the reverse. They were like, we're pushing women and people. Gimme.
They're pushing women on people.
They're pushing women on people.
I push more women on than anybody.
You have a woman house.
Woman on the Patreon. Woman on the pod. Women in the movie, women in the house, women in the caravan.
You know, I might have more father figures than you have autistic daughters figures.
I should have started eating these gummies on the podcast.
We'll pause for the gummies.
You do have a lot of father figures.
But maybe I have as many father figures as you have autistic daughter figures.
I think of you as a younger sister.
But that only started when Bert took me out on the road. You were like, I guess I'm not your dad. You were pretty hurt.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
You said you were.
I'm choking on these gums. It was a fun bit. There are a lot of people. My problem with Australian comedy was I thought there were a lot of people who were really great.
Yeah.
Who didn't get the time of day. And there were a lot of people who were shitty, who got a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not to say there weren't good people who got a lot and bad people, you know, and it's such a fucking shitty thing to complain about, but I think it was so bad in Australia that there is a reputation about Australian stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Where people will go, I don't want to see stand-up comedy in Australia. Australians will go, oh, Australian stand-up comedy? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, they'll go and see Americans. They might even go and see British people, but they don't want to see their own people, which is not something that happens, as far as I can tell, in the UK or America.
Yeah.
People in America don't go. Oh, I must only have my Australian comedy.
Yeah.
Get me a Canadian in here.
Yeah.
It's cultural cringe.
So what do you think about Australian comedy will be especially good for my comedy?
I just think I love it. I think you're a great talent.
Oh.
I think you're from overseas and that gives you an extra 50. Honestly, huge percentage boost.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like playing on easy mode.
Yeah, I have noticed that because everything is so slightly different from where I'm from, it doesn't feel real. And so that allows me to act with more confidence.
This is what I meant. When I said, I think you could record an hour here, chop it down. But like, if you just mentioned
not this
things
month.
You've noticed. No, it would be so...
Well, we'll record that show.
You'll get so many reels from just walking around. You know, if you did a show now, if we recorded tonight and you just noticed things that you'd seen, you would get five things that would pop so quickly.
Yeah.
And I feel blessed because Shane came and Shane did that.
Yeah.
And also managed to take it home. And it was the opening 10 minutes of his special. It was just his walking around Australia stuff.
And his comments about Australia?
Yeah.
The
start of Beautiful Dogs is just him talking about Australia.
I've seen that. I haven't noticed that it's about Australia. He must bring it back to himself in his life somehow.
He's, there's an Australian goth. Do you not remember this?
No.
This is great. He goes, Australia, it's a whole country doing nothing. It's a great bit.
It is a great bit.
No, there's a goth he puts on a bucket hat for the first time because he's on holiday.
Mm.
And a goth says, nice hat, fatso. I was so proud when I saw it.
Last night I was at the pub
and
they were playing music and it was beautiful, but a guy was playing the piano and he finished his first song and he said to the audience, I'm not sure what I'm going to play next in terms of music. And the man... Like, that was, like, you're playing the piano.
Did he get a laugh?
He got a little giggle from the people around him, but it was so... that would not happen. You don't that in America.
Zero fear of being shot.
Of being shot. Yeah, that's what it is.
So my number one habit that I had to stop when I was in America...
Being a dick. Like, cheeky.
No, dick is not... So I had gotten... And this is a terrible habit to get into. But of as a pedestrian, when someone did something like dangerous on the road or was honking or an argument in public or whatever, was sort of like cholo style, grabbing my penis.
Why?
Like over the pants.
To show your toughness?
Hey, man, what the fuck? Oh, like one arm goes out you and do one arm goes. Like
you
Michael
were doing
Jackson.
That in Australia?
Yeah, like crotch grab. Like, oh, yeah, you want some? Like just as almost as a funny thing. And then it did, for a while, they developed into something that I would just, when angry, start doing. And never at a woman. Oh, my God.
Good.
Only would grab my dick at men in anger.
And that's how you get a house full of women.
So, because I can protect them.
Just, yeah.
But in America, it's not something that I'm in a position to... I'm not proud of having done that. I'm not in a position to do that.
Mm.
You know, I think there's something kind of beautiful about it. I wouldn't want to get shot there. So I would sometimes go to do it.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, no, I must... Not here.
Which kind of feels like more sexual if you go to grab your dick.
Yeah, I know.
And then
it's like, again, not sexual. Michael Jackson. More Michael Jackson.
I know, but I'm saying if you're going to grab your dick in aggression, non-sexually, you have to follow through. But if you go to grab your dick and then become embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable talking about this anymore. I'm just saying.
What?
Honking. I should have just made it about honking because I also used to honk.
Yeah.
And here I honk. And in America, I try not to honk. In Texas?
But it feels really good when you're risking your life to be angry. There's something quite free about that.
Here we go. I'm going out on a point of principle. Texas was
scary.
I loved it.
I think you guys are more scared of America than I am, and I think it's like, but I understand that it is a scary place. But when you read about a place, and that's your understanding of a place all the time, and you're not from there and inside of it, like I was scared of spiders and kangaroos, and I've seen neither.
No. I think also we got used to certain risk. We got less scared of America the longer we did. I wouldn't be scared to be in America now. Another day.
But you know what I mean? Like every like news thing is obviously going to be the worst thing.
I mean, there was a day she came back from the library and said there was a shooting there. There was a shooting at the library this morning. Like it was in the
Taylor?
Austin City Library. Yeah, yeah. She said there was a shooting at the library. She went in the afternoon, but like people were talking about it. Like they hadn't even shut down the library. Like there was a shooting at the library.
Yeah.
I said, oh, because I thought she'd be frightened. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. She said, nah, it's right. It was targeted. And then we just sort of moved on with the day. But it's like, yeah, it was one person who wanted to shoot a specific person
who so happened to be at the library
and shot at them.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, it wasn't a random drive-by. We were always safe.
We were always safe.
Targeted shooting.
Thank God.
And it's like, whew, don't worry. It's like, you don't even have to.
One time I went into a convenience store near my house and there's this guy who just, he was always sort of like, he just sort of had just like a like stone cold attitude. And we went in there and they were playing back videotape on the like screen that you can see in there. And it was of him being robbed 10 minutes earlier. And he was like playing it for a cop nearby. And also he just also didn't have any emotion. He was like, yeah, this is what happened. The cop was like, oh. And we were just watching him watch himself be robbed. And we were like, when was this from? He was like, this just happened. Like we probably like opened the door for the guy who just robbed him.
There's a great Australian clip at the moment going around of a guy on the street who's got his phone out and he's recording a guy in his ute who's screaming at him, his truck. And the guy like gets out of the truck and is like threatening to bash the guy for having his camera out.
Yeah.
And then a different guy, like, so the guy just gets out of his truck and tries to fucking beat someone for no reason.
Yeah.
And to have one point against the guy recording him is he does like, as when the guy comes over, he takes a big step behind his girlfriend and is recording the guy from behind his girlfriend. And the guy is like, you're hiding behind your missus? He's a big islander. It's a big island man who goes, oh, a real tough guy hiding behind his missus.
Oh my goodness.
But then as that guy is like getting in his face and the other guy's hiding behind the woman, a third guy gets into the truck and tries to steal it because the guy's left his keys. And it's just some like methed out guy with a, you see him in the background with a shopping cart, this guy looking around and then just quietly gets in the truck and starts to drive away, and then the guy runs back.
Why is it... So, the gun thing is really what makes America more dangerous. The crimes are... But aren't there more, like, knifings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as bad as the UK. I mean, it's...
The knifings?
The knifings... We don't have a huge... I mean, look, for me being corrected, but we don't have the same narrative of knife crime as they've got in the UK.
Yeah.
It's just a happy place where everyone gets along.
Yeah.
Except all the, you know...
People who don't get along.
Foreigners.
Yeah.
Who I love. Nah, but seriously, folks, it's great to be here with Ruby Sitnik in the caravan in Australia. Just some quick updates maybe for people. The Patreon's ongoing. That's going really well. Just before we resume the podcast, we're making the movie. That's taking up a lot of the energy. There will be video components of the podcast going forward. This is probably the last one that hasn't had a video because Sam Clark and I have gone and got an office. We've got an office and we got the office. We're getting the keys for the office this week. Big work coming. There'll be a set, I think. It'll be great.
Let me find you some jokes.
You getting ready to say your jokes for tonight?
Yeah.
I went through this with Samantha as well, trying to figure out what I was going to say. I've got so little. What have you got?
If a service person makes a generalization about a group of people, I don't think it's a stereotype. I think it's a reality that they're living every day.
Lived experience.
Yeah, like yeah. A waitress is allowed to be racist.
Canoes don't tip.
wait.
Racist waitresses.
Waitresses,
racists.
I think I love you is pretty meaningless in a long-term relationship. It's just kind of white noise. It's background noise. It's sort of like, but I like you. It's like, oh, wow, really? Still?
You don't have to do that. Yeah. I think the guys,
it's really nice
I think
you.
The guys with the best deal in society
yeah.
for like life and pleasure and joy
yeah.
is closeted gay men with families. Have we discussed this?
Mm-hmm. I disagree.
Well, it's like, you know, I've got my wife and I love her so much.
Mm.
And there's just a lot of like wild sex out there that I'm not having
yes.
with strangers.
Yeah.
And if a guy does that with ladies, if his guy's cheating on his wife with ladies.
Super personal.
That's
hurtful,
so
awful.
Disgusting.
Can't do that.
But if a guy's cheating on his wife with a bunch of gay guys, that's so special and beautiful and so sad. Like. That he doesn't just get to be who he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he has to keep it in the toilets.
Yeah.
This, you don't think there's anything there?
There could be something there. It just seems like something. It's like reality.
It's like all these guys who are married and then fuck around with other men.
Yeah.
It's like people go, no one is like, fuck that guy.
No, yeah. Yes, that's true. He's allowed.
That's what I mean. Like, why is
and he gets the best of both worlds.
That's why I'm saying. I'm not saying that's what I do. I'm
you
not
know,
saying
I do feel
that's
like if a woman
fucks
around with another woman, that's less accepted.
Yeah, that's a full emotional betrayal.
Why?
Well, because they probably talk in a beautiful
they do
way.
Probably talk to each other.
Yeah. Whereas the
yeah, anytime
the
a woman is involved, it's a horrifying betrayal.
Let me tell you.
Because they're probably
if
talking.
If a woman's getting together with a stranger who's a woman
yeah.
in a public toilet.
Yeah.
I've never heard about it.
My new punchline list thing that I can't stop saying on stage is that lesbians are really mean.
get that out tonight. See
get
how it
out
feels.
Tonight.
I told you my joke about like recognizing Palestine, how countries don't recognize Palestine.
Yeah.
All right. Fun. Suicide attempt survivor joke. Matthew Perry GameCube.
Okay. This is a complicated idea that I don't know how, that'll be probably like a long act out, but it's like the. Because the distance from my head to my tongue is a slippy slide, the thoughts are faster than the person who knows what to say.
Brain to tongue, head to tongue.
What did I say?
You said head to tongue.
And I meant brain to tongue.
Okay. So from your head to your tongue is a slippy slide.
It's just sort of, it's like dropping something in the well. It pretty much reaches the bottom right away.
Okay. So what you'd like is for your mouth to be somewhere on the knees?
No. I would just like to be able to think through things before I say them. That's my point.
What if we all had tongues for fingers?
Mm.
Then I could raise them above my head and the thoughts take some time and effort to get up to the hands.
I was in a...
Periscope mouth.
I was renting... Periscope mouth. I was in a car rental place on the road.
Yeah.
And it was full of people, which I couldn't understand why, because I don't understand why... I can't understand why anybody aside from comedians would ever need to rent a car. I don't understand who's doing that.
I've only ever done it in the sense of family's on holiday.
Maybe.
It's not a lot.
Anyways,
of people.
I was there, and everybody at the car rental place hates you, especially the people who work there.
Yeah.
And I got it, and we got the car, and I was very hungover, and there was this vending machine, and it was one of those vending machines that acts like an animatronic Disneyland thing, like it's doing all of this work.
Yes.
Take before it brings you the water.
The robot arm.
The robot is sort of slowly bringing you the water, but it's doing this little show and dance before it gets you the water, and then it started to glitch, and then I started to hit it because I was so frustrated about my present reality.
Yeah.
And then as we were walking away, Benton, my boyfriend, said a French family was recording you. And I was imagining it getting to like the French media and them being like, oh yes, these Americans, they hit the machines for their water.
It's no, where we left. Have the spring that moves slowly in one circle and water fall down.
Americans fighting robots for water.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's positive.
I don't know.
So I have all this Ronald McDonald, and at the end of the day, the Puritan impulse to fight machine.
Fight
for
machine
water.
For water. In bottle called Evian.
I think I've run everything I've got, but is Jared keeping that weight off?
A man was reading a Steinbeck book that I liked outside of a like an older man, and Benton and I were about to walk in and we saw him doing that. We're like, oh, we like that book. And he like put the book down and he was like, I was so moved by this book that I called my brother who lives in Michigan. And I realized that between men, where you are calling from is a barrier. Even though it's the same amount of effort to call him if he'd lived just down in LA. I don't know. There's something there.
In Michigan.
In Michigan, I called him.
I like that. Something about that I
something
do like.
Something there.
We're closing the show tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You can close it. I'll open for you closing it.
Yeah, you are. You're going on 9th. I'm going on 10th. It's a big lineup show. One thing that'll be weird here is they have intermissions during the lineup show. So it'll be like three acts and then a break and then three acts and then a break. And
awful.
Then four acts. It makes the night go for a long
time.
But that way, because there's no table service.
Well, we'll show up late.
We will show up late.
Can I do one more?
Oh, I wish you would. I just wish I had one to interject as well.
I did this joke for a while and it was working and then it stopped and I don't know why. But I saw a like crazy guy. Like he was talking to himself crazy and he didn't have a Bluetooth. And he was really well dressed. Like he was wearing like a suit and like a tux and like loafers. Like he was like he looked like a business guy, but he was fully crazy talking to himself.
Nice.
And what I realized was that what I was seeing was a crazy guy on his first day of being crazy.
Love that.
People
Love
don't laugh
that.
At that. People don't laugh. They laughed at the and now they're just like, that's sad. Maybe I have to just keep talking.
You know what's
about
more
it.
Uplifting? Like that's sad.
But isn't that a funny
here's
like
what,
interesting?
Here's what would be super uplifting.
Yeah.
Guy with like torn clothes, covered in dirt and blood and shaggy hair.
Yeah.
Just like walking in somewhere and being like, hello, excuse me, can I please just, can I have a bottle of water? I'm ready to get myself
And that's
lame.
A crazy person on their last day of being crazy.
That's what I'm saying, the last day of being crazy.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's like a shaggy man walks into a 7-Eleven and goes, have you got a toothbrush? I think I need one. I'm ready to turn this around.
That's so good.
Do you know that gives like charitable haircuts?
You totally fix that joke for me.
This seems more uplifting. Crazy guy's last day.
The other homeless person joke that I have right now is when I went to the zoo while it was raining because I was depressed and I saw, I already told you this, can I say it
again? Did animals still have to be there in the rain? That's all I remember.
Well, the other thing is that I saw a homeless person at the zoo. It was just me and this homeless person at the zoo because it was raining and the homeless person was staring at a lizard in the lizard enclosure and the lizard was staring at the homeless person and I thought that the homeless person was probably thinking, I would like to be in a warm enclosed space and the lizard was probably thinking, I would like to do crack in the wind. And then I was thinking that should have been Freaky Friday too and they switch places and they learn it's not so easy and Lindsay Lohan can play the lizard because she already does. And the Jamie Lurker.
I tried to give you a tag for it.
What was your tag?
I'd forgotten that it went to Freaky Friday, which is a great twist, but the tag I wanted to give was like, they should do Freaky Friday. And I guess you couldn't do that because they'd both get exactly what they want. There'd be no narrative tension.
Because
hobo would just be like, this is everything I've ever wanted. And the lizard would be like,
this is perfect.
Oh, fine.
And then they go on.
Yes! 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 Yes.
Wait, because explain to me, because in Freaky Friday, though, don't they both think that the other has it so easy?
Yeah, but then they learn that it's actually not that easy.
Yeah, but, so wouldn't that be a work?
I don't know. I think with an actual lizard brain,
that's just a good idea?
Yeah, I just actually think it's a good idea. I don't know where they would run into any problems.
Mm-hmm.
No, lizard's going to be like, get me back in my glass box. No, hobos love freedom. Hobo. Why is hobo offensive?
It's not.
Homeless. But what does the bo stand for?
Bosey.
Homeless bosey. I don't think it's like Soho or it's like south of Hudson. Hobo. I'm
south living of Boston. Homeless of Boston.
Homeless of the.
Is that where it comes from? Do homeless people come from Boston?
Hobo.
Probably not.
What's the meaning of
you've been
hobo?
To Boston, it's built for horses. Did you know that? Do you know that's why it's like that? You walk around in Boston, you think everything's too tall.
Are you ready for this? I didn't know this.
Horses are from Boston. If
hobo,
you say that, I'll kill myself.
A hobo travels
you.
And wants to work. A hobo is not just a bum. A hobo travels and wants to work. This is what AI is saying. A tramp travels but avoids work. A bum does not travel and does not work.
There used to be so many grades of homeless.
Yeah.
You can't be homeless traveling and wanting to work anymore.
Well, I think there probably
how would
less
you travel?
Mental illness and less drugs.
Yeah.
And so it was just more of a... I mean,
totally. And I know you won't... You think Steinbeck is too dry and I... But...
I'll be reading. I'm just... I'm
he
reading.
Talks a lot about like American homeless and like yeah. early... Like back when Chinese were Mexicans. Culturally.
Hmm.
Whatever
that's the new
time
name
that
of my
was,
special.
Back when Chinese were Mexicans.
Chinese Mexican.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how like you would be homeless, but what that means is you hung out with. It meant that you were an artist, or like you were like you didn't fit in a, like you would sit at the river.
You're a bit bohemian.
Yeah, you just drink at the river.
It was the life of a tramp.
Also, I feel like alcohol was not as bad for you back then. No, I know that technically it was, but like
yeah.
like if you're a pirate on a ship.
Yeah.
In the olden times.
Oh, rum.
You have to have rum. That's how you get
it's strong.
Through.
It used to be more watered down. And also, I think people, you know, like alcoholics get, they just stop getting drunk at some point.
Yeah.
I think there would be more of that. I think
not
like,
my dad. Sorry. Sorry.
Some people have to really push it to get
he kept going.
I mean, I always think this about, but like when you watch people's top, like you, like on the waterfront, I think there's like a drunk in the park.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here, Rummy.
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
that's the
yeah.
vagrant is just a drunk guy
in
the
park.
Park.
Yeah.
And now Amos Gill used to do a whole bit about it. He stopped doing it. But he's like, his joke was about guys getting drunk and fighting you. And it's worse now that everyone's on like meth and Red Bull. Because like
yeah.
an old drunk guy would take a swing at you and he'd fall down and he's on the other side of the street. And a new guy who's beating you up and down, you know, he does a lap of the block six times and fly kicks you in the jaw.
Yeah, he has so much energy.
But it's like, yeah,
he's
the bum's
super
now,
focused.
Where it's like, crack schizophrenia?
Yeah.
So, boy,
did I tell
give
you
me
I got
a rum
taste
guy.
Of it?
A little taste of crack?
Because I had an Adderall addiction and...
Oh,
speed. Yeah, well, at the worst of it, I told Taylor about this. I don't know if I told you, but I was walking around because I was convinced that my skin looked really bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to get all the skin care.
Yeah.
And so I was stealing a lot of skin care.
Okay.
From a place that rhymes with Farget. And then I ran out of money because I would buy a little bit and steal with it. But then I ran out of money to even buy the little bit that I would steal a
so
bunch
you
more could, with.
So if you got caught, you'd be able to go whoopsie daisy?
So I started to, yeah. So yeah. I started to wander the streets and I would think about mugging people.
Yeah.
But not mugging them. I would think about like stealing their wallets while they were out partying. And then when I felt
while
like
they were out partying?
Yeah, because I lived in like a party part of town.
Oh, so, like,
I,
like when women leave all their handbags.
Yeah, just like grab a wallet, use it to buy a little bit to steal the rest of the skincare.
Yeah.
And then I would also think about like going into people's bathrooms and like stealing their moisturizers.
Like when you go over their house.
And at the time that all felt like a really good idea.
I think that's all sensible.
But also now when I see people wandering, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're suspicious of the wanderer now.
Yeah, because I understand that they're desperate in some way. And that they think their bad ideas are good. You know what I mean? And I understand what that felt like. So.
I mean, I probably would have that with... I understand.
Do you?
Yes.
It didn't matter that
I
was
have
the skincare.
Stumbled around public in a state of high anxiety.
Yeah.
And lost... And not really known it was anxiety.
Yeah.
And had just had full terror. Like,
yeah.
what am I going to do? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's dreadful.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer to that is other than having a house.
No, and I did have a house and that helped. And if I didn't, I would be on more drugs.
I have been unhoused
probably would have taken
a couple of times. Not for long stretches.
Yeah.
And only once with the family where we were moving from place to place and didn't know where we didn't have any money and we didn't have anywhere to go when we got there.
Yeah.
I mean, it all came together, but like that was a bit spooky. That was more, what would we say of the three that was? We would say that was hobo behavior, travels and wants to work. But
yeah, you may have been one of the last hobos. Sorry, one of the latest hobos.
Contemporary hobo.
Contemporary hobo.
But there were comedy festival. There was a comedy festival where I went through a breakup and couldn't go home and didn't have any money. And I just would like stay up at night and sleep in public during the day, and I had my like.
You talk
my
to me. You've only really had one.
That was my breakup.
That was hard, right?
No, nah, like, I have a couple.
But I mean, I know they were all hard. All breakups are hard. But you had only one heartbreak, right?
No, I
know that from a poem that one time I read of yours. That's what you posited in the poem. This is what it'll look like as your therapist in the movie.
Yes. Oh, terrifying. Not the right glasses for you. did I have heartbreak? I only got broken up with one time.
Yeah.
You can be heartbroken even if you have to break up with the person.
Almost more sometimes because it's the onus is on you to be decisive.
Yeah, and to also be a really like the bad guy.
You not only are you the bad guy, you're also the decider, and if you've chosen wrong, the question of whether or not you've chosen wrong,
yeah,
it will haunt you. And you have go backing power.
I did once use the go backing power because someone
bullied
asked.
You into it.
Yeah, well, not bullied, but just was like
politely asked, which is your version of bullying.
You know,
if anyone ever wants to bully James, politely ask him to do something that you think maybe he doesn't want
to
do.
You and have he will to do it. You have to build up tolerance for other people maybe committing suicide because of what you're doing to them. Do you know what I mean?
But the ones who are making you think that they might commit suicide
I know.
Usually aren't the ones who will.
I know.
Yeah, but of course, at the time it feels
first
serious.
Time around.
I had that with
in your early 20s.
Yeah.
Yes, but you just don't. You don't know. I don't know. So many people like, but I'm worried that they might.
And sometimes, they
and
do.
Hey, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, but the breakup. A lady broke up with me. We dated in high school, and she broke up with me, and I was
really sad.
Really sad. And then
was it kind of first love kind of thing?
It was my first post-puberty girlfriend. I had lots of girlfriends pre-puberty, but post-puberty, they just hit a bit different.
Yep.
And sometimes they literally hit different. That women hit me. Now, the important thing is that, I remember this lady breaking up with me, and for years I was sad about it.
Yeah.
Years. You know? Yeah. And like went on with my life, whatever, but like I was really sad that I got broken up with.
Yeah.
And then I'm not proud of this.
Yeah.
But sometime later, we reconvened. Intimate capacity.
Yeah.
And then I made out with a different woman in front of her at a party, sort of on purpose for vengeance.
After the reconvenience?
Yeah.
Did you have that in mind during the reconvenience?
I just felt it was like a form of vengeance. It was like two things.
So interesting.
And now I just don't really think of that lady. Like, yeah. It doesn't hurt ever.
Wow. And did the vengeance help you get over it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one time...
Which is a terrible lesson.
It is a terrible lesson.
Because I don't believe in vengeance.
So many good lessons are terrible.
And I think one of the reasons... It's not like vengeance doesn't work and you shouldn't use it. It's too powerful. It does work. You can make the hurt go away by hurting them back. It's crazy how powerful vengeance is.
There are ways probably to... The first person who ever really badly heckled me, and I probably haven't had one as bad as this since.
Yeah.
I was doing my dirty jokes when I was very young, and I was too young to pull them off, and I was in front of an older crowd, and they were too dirty, and I was too young.
Yeah.
And a woman stood up and said, you're not funny and you need to leave. She like stood up. She didn't like me. I saw her not like me. And then I saw her decide to say that. And then I saw her say it. And then I saw her sit back down and continue not to like me. And I still had to finish my set. And then I sort of took it on the nose and I record all of my sets. And if you listen back to that particular recording, you'll hear me be like, oh, whatever, and finish my set and sort of shakily and then get off stage. And then you'll hear a bathroom door open and then you'll hear me crying.
And have you still got it?
Yeah.
Wow. Can we close the pod with it?
Oh, God.
That's a joke. It's a joke. But I would. I would. That would be a very strong ending to the podcast if we could have your tears reverberating around a comedy club bathroom.
Let me see if it's on this phone. But what I was going to say is I didn't get over that.
Yeah.
Until, for many months, I was afraid of stand-up because I had never, it never occurred to me it could go that badly.
Yeah.
Until I wrote a joke about her. And then I was over it. Revenge.
Can you tell me the joke?
Well, the jokes were all the earliest version of the cum joke that now has been immortalized.
Really?
Yeah. And then I added a tag to it.
But how did, hold on, how did you get from the cum joke, from how did you get from hating a woman in the crowd to the cum joke?
Okay, I was telling a cum joke.
Yes.
The earlier version of the cum joke that you know.
Yeah.
She heckled you. She heckled me.
Yes.
And then I finished the rest of the joke. And then I was scared of stand up for months. And then I wrote a joke about her heckle.
That's what I want. What is her heckle? What's the joke about?
Okay, so the initial joke is about how men don't clean up their cum with enough urgency.
Yes.
And the joke about her heckle was one time I made that joke and a woman stood up and said, "You're not funny and you need to leave." And basically, it was some sort of version of like, I guess that woman loved cum or something like that.
I don't remember that tag.
Well, I don't think I stopped using that tag because now I sort of later in my career, I found it kind of hacky to be like, one time I told that joke and a woman did this.
Yes, it was healing for you at the time.
At the time, it was really necessary.
And then in terms of that thing we were talking about before, about noticing what people are doing and then learning from it.
Yeah.
It's like every time you see a comedian doing that. Well, one time I said this. Mm-hmm. I said that and then I said this. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, the amount of pain you must be carrying around within yourself to need to do that so often.
Yeah.
One time I said something funny.
There's and a guy in Australia
whose entire act...
It's not about pain. I feel
listen to this. Listen to this. All right, I'm not going to say who, but there is a guy in Australia who's in 100% of his act. He's not an unsuccessful comedian. 100% of his act is saying things that he has said in public to other people.
Yeah, crazy.
That were devastating.
Yeah.
And then he says his own name and points at himself.
That's crazy. Because saying your own name and pointing yourself, the jokes that he's doing is the joke version of that.
But it's definitely that. This guy.
Also, what's wrong about it is you're telling a story where you have all the power.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the cool guy and I got
him. He said that and I said this.
Yeah.
Then he says his name.
Yeah.
Ruby Sednick, thanks for coming on the pod. We've got to wrap up there and have fish and chips.
Okay.